Hello, and welcome to the Tech Safest podcast, where we talk about home, small business, technology, and security. I'm your host, Greg Burns. I have Chris Walter from Avast with us. We're going to be talking about how to prevent being hacked. So, Chris, how's it going?
That's going great, Greg. Great to see you.
Good to hear. So, I just want to let the listeners and viewers know how they can prevent their devices from being hacked. With everything going on these days, ransomware, emails, apps, messages, you know, you receive things like that. So I guess let's just jump right into it. So one of the first main things that I look for and try to make sure I have are strong passwords.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, some of those, you know, basic rules there. You know, it's easy to remember that you've got, you know, that you need to remember your password. But a lot of people will actually, you know, try to use the same passwords at home and at work. Mm-hmm. And it's always a great idea to make sure you kind of mix that up and prevent that. And especially like if you're using the same passwords on social media pages that you are for your banking or your medical records, that sort of thing, your doctor's office portals, that kind of thing. It's a really good idea to have completely different, you know, passwords for those with completely different characteristics.
Okay. So what would you say would be the proper length and makeup of a good password?
You know, you'd want it to be at least 12 characters in length, be a mixture of uppercase, lowercase letters with numbers and special characters. We're seeing a real trend towards moving to phrases. Okay. You know, maybe a dog's name with a special character, a cat's name, special character. A number that's not, you know, immediately obvious, like your address or your birth date, you know, something like that, something that's going to get you out there to 12 characters. It's sort of easy for you to remember, but it's so random that it's not going to be something that somebody picks up.
Okay. Yeah, I know I've started being in IT, you know, we're like doctors, we're the worst at doing this stuff, passwords and things. So I've actually changed my passwords up to be a sentence, and it's uppercase, lowercase, spacing, you know, punctuation and everything. So it's something that I'll remember, that in order for you to figure it out, you're going to have to know me very well. And it's just a random sentence that nobody has ever heard me say, you know.
Great idea. So capitalizing random letters within a word versus proper capitalization.
Correct. Okay. So next, what I look at also is software updates, Windows updates. You know, a lot of the users hate Windows updates, you know, because it comes down, fixes one thing, and sometimes messes up something else. Most users ask me, should they update? And I always tell them yes, because if you update, and I always use the software Adobe, because everybody uses Adobe Reader, and you can update Adobe version 1.1, and then 6 months later, update Adobe 1.2. But the 1.1 is that vulnerability that's still there, you know.
Yeah, a lot known of, vulnerability.
Right. A lot of them, they don't go in and remove that version 1.1. You know, if you look at their list of software, they just stack 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, 1.4. And the latest at the bottom is say 1.8, but those other seven are still there, which are vulnerable now.
Yes.
Yeah. So
a lot of good services out there. You know, Avast does offer CCleaner that can go in and look for those older versions to remove those out. Okay. Also with patches, those updates, you know, those known vulnerabilities that we're talking about. We also have patch management services. So it'll go out and look for your Windows updates, but also, as you mentioned, you know, third-party applications are on all of our devices, Adobe, Google Chrome, Zoom, things that we use every day. And so having a service that goes out and constantly looks for the latest version and then applies it for you, you know, when it's convenient for you is an ideal way to stay on top of that. It's sort of a set it and forget it technology, but it's really, really important to have in place because it does, it catches all those things that aren't going to be protected by antivirus. These are known vulnerabilities that are published online.
Okay. Now everybody's starting to hear about two-factor authentication, you know, and I use it with a a lot of software I use, but Gmail, Facebook, things like that, they've all implemented two-factor. And I personally hate using either the Windows or the Google app deal, you know? Because for me, I've changed from one phone to a new phone, and that authenticator number was on the old phone. So now I can access the new one. So me being IT, I know how to work around, you know, and make it work. But a lot of users out there, they need to use that authenticator, or it's either phone call or message. What do y'all recommend?
Well, you know, with two-factor authentication, it really does add another layer of security. And the key to good security is to have those multiple layers. And so having that second factor, and a factor can be your knowledge, a password, or a PIN. It can be a possession, like an ID card, a security token, or a cell phone app that has the authentication application on there. Biometric for fingerprints, voice identification. There's also some lesser used ones like location and time factors that can be used. But by adding that additional factor, helps to reduce the ability for a hacker to buy a database of passwords, that, and then have access to your accounts. So when we see those breaches online from credit reports, companies and things like that, that, you know, thousands and millions of people, you know, have passwords that are corrupted, just because they have your password, if you're using two-factor authentication, means they can't access your information.
Right.
Unless,
okay. Yeah. I think next is opening unfamiliar tactics. You know, we see this a lot in email, and you might get a text message as well that has something attached to it. I know I've gotten some through my messaging app saying there's a link to open. And all first thing I do is delete. I have no idea what it is. And it's usually a short number, you know, maybe 12345, you know, something like that. It's not ever an entire phone number.
Right. Yeah, you know, I always like, you know, it's really sage advice to look before you leap. I say you should read before you click. It is the newer version of that.
Right.
Just read the link. Does it, you know, if it's a chain of numbers and letters all mixed and jumbled together and you have no idea where it's going to take you, don't click it. You know, if you're going out to a UPS site, but instead of UPS, it's UPZ or something like that. You know, you've got to read and see if there's anything just slightly off on those links before you click on them. And if it's a hyperlink, a lot of times if you hover over it, it will expose the full URL. And that's what you want to see, and see if anything looks off there.
Yeah, well, sorry for my voice today. You know, I got a little respiratory something, you know, live with the school teacher, you're bound to get something. So.
Oh, yeah, indeed.
What about like password managers? A lot of users hear about them, you know, but nobody has taken the time to invest in one. I know there's a lot of them out there, but a lot of people think they're too hard to actually use.
It's a great recommendation to use something outside of your browser. Your browser's password manager. With the browser password manager, it's one password and they have access to everything because of its ability to sync across platforms. By using a password manager, it creates an additional step to where you would have to have that two-factor authentication, that second factor, to access the password portion of the information on your device. The nice thing about those password managers also is they will create very complex passwords, varying levels of complexity, and remember it for you so that you don't have to. You can remember your one simple password or password phrase that we discussed to get into your manager. But other than that, then all of those other passwords are managed independently.
Okay. Yeah, I've been recommending password managers to all my users and things, and I always make sure I tell them your password to get into the manager. You cannot recover it. You have to remember what it is. You know, if you lose that, you lost all your passwords. And that's what they fear the most. I said, well, just take that password, write it down, put it in a safe or the deposit box, something like that, where you do have access to something, just not put it on your phone to where you can see it. You know, it's like how they did it back in the day. They would write their password under their keyboard, flip it up as a password, back down and type it in, because they had to change it every 90 days or so. So they just write underneath.
Just change the 1 to a 2.
Exactly.
2 to a 3.
I have to admit, I was bad about that starting out.
One of the great things about working with Avast is our Essentials, Premium, and Ultimate coverages all come with passwords, which is the Avast Password Manager included.
Okay. I'll start making sure you just know that with the software I installed on there, so that they can start utilizing it more and try to help them set it up so it's already done for them.
Yes.
You know, what do you recommend? Like everybody hears about security and software and things. You know, there's a plethora out there of software from everywhere. You know, some are better than others. Some are free, some are not free, some are paid, things like that. A lot of people think that the free version is the best thing in the world, you know. But I try to recommend business and medical and school get a paid version, because it does have more with it, but it also helps, you know, with more security for ransom and things like that. What do y'all recommend?
Certainly you want to have, you know, solid endpoint protection. That includes, you know, not just the antivirus, but also the patch management that we mentioned earlier, so that you're covering all those. Something that's going to alert you proactively when there's an issue that needs your attention, but that's not going to throw up a lot of false positives.
Okay.
The cost of free is what I always like to talk about also. You know, there's a lot of tracking that goes on there. You know, how comfortable are you with your information about, you know, where you're going, what you're doing online, being, you know, available. You know, that is really the cost of free, that the advertisements, the pop-ups. When you're going with a business paid for solution, you're using a solution dedicated to security and preventing attacks, not necessarily focused on collecting data and selling you additional products.
Okay. Now we're into things about like web browsers that everybody uses. I recommend everybody using an ad blocker. You know, back in the day, we always got those, you know, pop-ups all the time. They were on the screen everywhere, and those probably gone away, but now we have the ads everywhere, you know. So with the Avast, what is Avast like as far as an ad blocker?
Yeah, we absolutely have that. That's built into our endpoint security solution to prevent those from coming in, as well as with Avast endpoint security, we have multiple shields, file shield, web, mail, behavior shield, as well as now we've recently added ransomware shield. Okay. So all of these help to prevent ransomware from being successfully showing up on a device. But things like web shield and cyber capture can prevent fraudulent ads and malicious ads from the links from ever being active on your computer. So we can stop the threat before it gets to you.
Okay, good deal. Of course, we're in the age of everybody's mobile more now than before, and we have cell phones in our hands, laptops and tablets, and every restaurant and local town has free Wi-Fi. I try to recommend using a VPN with everybody. I know with Avast, there's a VPN that's set up within the software.
Yes, secure line of VPN.
Yes. So how does your work, you know, as far as, you know, to help the user?
Right. One of the great things about going with the Avast business solution versus a free solution is that it also comes with a free mobile device license. So for every operating system that you get the business license on, you get a mobile device, matching mobile device license. And that will come with a SecureLine VPN. SecureLine VPN allows you to mask your IP address so that when you are at Starbucks, it encrypts that connection. We also have a Wi-Fi shield that will analyze that connection for you and prevent any type of man-in-the-middle attacks.
Okay. Yeah, I've used that many times before. You know, if there's somewhere I have to log in, I try not to, if all possible. But if I have to, then that's the first thing I do is scan that Wi-Fi.
First, oh, yeah.
And I always try to look for the business's Wi-Fi. You know, most of them just one. If there's two, I definitely stay off it because you're not sure. You know.
Yes.
I know you mentioned before about the links. You know, we discussed that with email and cell phones. Trusted links are what we try to look for, but when they're not trusted, is there something with the VAS that can help protect you from those links if you just happen to open one?
Well, what we offer is a sandbox option for end users. So if you do have a file that you're just not sure about, you know, it's a real, one of those really long ones, you feel like you trust it, but you just don't know for sure, you can open that in the sandbox. And that would be located into the local user interface that they would open up. And then that segments a portion of the drive. And if it is malicious and starts to try to launch out some sort of ransomware or malicious software, that would be contained within the sandbox, and you can simply close that like a window and it goes away.
Okay, good deal. I like that. Now, I've had users in the past would get a pop-up on the bottom screen saying it's Microsoft or somebody, and instead of them sitting down, they would hit the button and it would start to install.
Yeah.
You know, and I've known a school district or two that the users have received emails with links of you won $1 million or you won something.
The $100 gift card from Amazon.
Right, right. And there's a link, and they open the link and it's software, you know. So that
will, or some of the more malicious ones I've seen is where they have you call it. So this is Facebook or this is Microsoft or this is some of the other, you know, larger organizations and get you to call in. And it's really hard for any security software to prevent a user from opening the front door, basically.
Right, exactly.
And so the best thing we can do is this right here. And that is, you know, educating users on what to look for.
Okay. I think the last thing we have is monitoring for data breaches. You know, that's easy for us to do, but it's more hard for the everyday user to do. You know?
Absolutely. Impossible for an everyday user to keep up with all the online vulnerabilities or accesses that people might have. Employing a service, something like a Norton LifeLock, which goes out and alerts to possible identity thefts. You know, it can send a text message, give a phone call, send an email. They have mobile apps that are available. And with a single click, you're able to, you know, lock down and prevent additional data from being lost or, you know, finances from being lost.
Yeah. I worked with some years ago. He went to a Sonic. The Sonic was literally maybe a block away from work. Swiped his debit card. By the time he got to work, he received a phone call. His account had been hitting Florida and New York within 10 minutes, you know, of that. And so I think he did have LifeLock, which helped prevent them from finding it, you know. But it was,
and if something goes wrong, you have somebody there to help you through it too.
Right,
people who are experienced in the process. Because for you, you can imagine how confused you'd be and not really knowing what the next step is because you've never gone through anything like that. Yeah, having experienced people to help you is important.
Exactly.
And just one other thing I'd like to touch on there, you know, when we're looking at all this, you know, there are a lot of threats out there and it's nothing to be ashamed of if something happens and you do get attacked. But the best way to protect yourself against losing data and information if and when an attack is successful is to have an encrypted backup, some sort of cloud backup service so that all of your important financial, insurance, medical, maybe your photos, videos, that, you know, anything that's important to you type of data is protected in a form that can't be encrypted by the ransomware.
Yeah, that's one of the things I try to make sure with the user's idea with medical, law offices, things like that. I try to make sure they have a backup on site and one off site. One of my users, they had a breach about 3 years ago, and they had to let everyone know in their database. But because they had an off site backup, they only lost half a day's work. So they were able to recover the entire server and start over and keep going. You know, they which was great for them. They love it. They said they would never have an on-site backup again. You know, they like that. That helps so much. And I think they've had to do it a couple of times, you know. But it wasn't from a breach the second time. I think the other time was just a storm, you know, shut the server down just out the blue. That backup
power outage. Yeah, you know, and this is one of the nice things. You know, Avast does offer an endpoint solutions called the Business Hub. And within the Business Hub, you can do the antivirus, the patch management, cloud backup, all from one portal. It even has a remote control tool so that if you needed to remote into someone else's computer to share files or to help them fix a solution, that'd be available that you are familiar with, I'm sure.
I know with my medical users, I try to make sure they have a content filter on all their users' PCs to prevent them from accessing social media, Facebook, things like that, that can potentially have a bad link or something in there, you know. So a lot of the end users, of course, they don't like that. But as far as for the business, you know, especially with the medical office having to be compliant with the I think it's the HHS and everything, they have to have something to prevent them from being attacked, you know.
Right.
So if they are, they can prove we have this in place somehow, slip through, or somebody open a link somewhere, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Avast does offer a secure web gateway service that's content filtering with security versus just, you know, blocking by category. It can actually scan all that web traffic.
Okay, good deal, good deal. I think we looked at a lot today, you know.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, if there's nothing else, then I think we can go ahead and end this one this time and get the viewers another topic for next month so they can be prepared and implement these this month. So,
Great. Thanks a lot, Greg.
Thank you. See you next time.